On behalf of RSA and Carahsoft, we would like to welcome you to today's podcast, focused around cybersecurity in a post-pandemic world. Zulfikar Ramzan, Chief Technology and Product Officer at RSA, will discuss the challenges and opportunities of cybersecurity in a post-pandemic world, including where the industry has been and where it needs to go.
Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on where you are physically located. This year, we're celebrating the 30th anniversary of RSA Conference. The conference first began in 1991 as an opportunity to gain some collaboration between people in the public sector and in the private sector. Our industry was facing critical issues. At that time, the pressing concern was on export controls of cryptographic algorithms. And we were looking for ways to find common ground, to collaborate, to identify a path forward. The fact that we're all here today is a testament to the idea that that early collaboration, despite some fits and starts, did eventually succeed. In fact, I would go so far as to say that RSA as a company, and certainly the conference we helped create, would not even be possible, would not even be here, if it were not for that effective collaboration between the public and private sectors. And so in many ways, what I want to do today is reflect upon where we've been and where I believe we need to go, given the challenges we're facing at a societal level. To begin with, I think it's going to help to draw an idiom that is really popular in military doctrine and also in intelligence doctrine, the idea of being left of boom. In this case, boom refers to a bad event, an undesirable event. Maybe it's a cyber attack on your infrastructure or a physical attack. Left of boom refers to the idea of all the events that took place before boom occurred, and then right of boom references all the events that take place after boom has occurred. Now, our goal in general is to understand how we can minimize the impact of that boom period. How do we take boom and make it less impactful and less critical? How do we prevent it in the first place? Now, I believe that as the world gets more and more hyper-connected, as organizations begin to really use digital technologies en masse, we're gonna see unprecedented challenges when it comes to being able to predict where boom events occur, if we even know about them in the first place. And it's gonna be even more difficult to manage the complexity and the impact of that boom event if we're not careful. And so that being, it's really crucial for us to understand, number one, what's going on at the fundamental level? How do we understand where the critical elements are? And then second, how do we respond effectively? In that vein, as boom becomes a bigger issue, as we become more and more hyper-connected, it's critical for us to shift more to the right, to focus on what we can do once that boom event occurs so we can respond effectively and mitigate the impact of those boom instances. And in that vein, I want to take on three particular topics that I think are relevant in the context of managing in a world where we have to emphasize the right of boom. And these three areas are the Security Operations Center, Identity Management, and Integrated Risk Management. So let's begin by looking at two particular noteworthy trends that have shifted our perception in these areas. And they relate to the idea of digital transformation, and ultimately the idea of workforce transformation. Now, COVID-19 has arguably been the greatest accelerant in digital transformation initiatives in modern times. We have supplanted many of our physical experiences with digital ones. We have fundamentally altered how we work, how we play, and how we engage in our day-to-day lives and how we live. In that vein, we've had to adopt new digital technologies to make that a reality. At an organizational level, we've seen our meetings become much more virtual in nature. We've seen more and more transactions take place online. In fact, we're even taking place in virtual conferences these days, I hear. And in that vein, it's really critical to understand that for organizations, they've had to shift their posture. We've seen organizations move towards more of a cloud-first or cloud-friendly posture in many cases. And that's been driven largely by costs and by convenience. But unfortunately, that means that many security and compliance considerations have been pushed by the wayside. The second noteworthy consideration is in the idea of there being a long-term shift in workforce transformation and workforce habits. Over this past year, we've certainly seen more people being forced to work remotely. But even as we come out of the haze of this pandemic, even as the end is starting to come in sight, we're going to see a lot more folks spend their time working remotely. We're going to see a much more hybrid workforce than we have in the future. And it's crucial for us to start to plan for that at a fundamental level. So what do those two trends mean across all the areas I talked about: security operations, identity, and risk. I want to start off with the implications from security identity, or security operations rather. So to start with, one of the key elements that we have to consider in the security operations context is end-to-end visibility. Visibility that gives you insight into what's happening across all your key digital assets, from your network core, to your edge and endpoints, to the cloud and beyond. And there are a variety of ways in which we can glean those points of visibility. And it's really going to be important for us to find ways to look at visibility holistically in this regard. Now, it's also important to realize that as organizations evolve, we're seeing more and more organizations embrace things like IoT and OT. And to a certain degree, we'll see a greater degree of OT-IT convergence, especially in many of the public sector institutions that you all work for, where a lot of critical infrastructure is essentially managed and observed through operational technology. We have to have better visibility into what those technologies are doing and bring that visibility into the security operations center at a fundamental level. Now, that visibility has to coalesce. It can't just be about gathering data from multiple points. We've got to be able to take all that data and look at it from a common perspective to be able to do interesting investigations to glean meaningful insights from that data. In that vein, when you look at analytics, analytics fundamentally is a garbage in, garbage out proposition. If we were in California physically at the conference, I would say you can't make good wine from bad grapes. Unfortunately, we're all distributed, so pick whatever analogy works best for you. You can't make good coffee from bad beans. You can't make good beer from bad hops. Whatever floats your boat, at a fundamental level, it is really about ensuring that if you have the right data coming in, then and only then can you make meaningful insights from that data. And to be able to get the right data, you have to have that breadth of visibility across key data points. You can't just rely on one myopic viewpoint alone. You've got to take a much more macroscopic view of what's going on in your environment. It's also important to keep in mind that when you look at things like analytics, I don't just mean here fancy, you know, recurrent neural networks based on a ton of data. What I'm really referring to here is the idea of, certainly there's some machine learning and AI components, but for the most part, I suspect with a lot of basic data science models and some basic heuristics that are encoded inside of these models, we'll be able to make tremendous progress at a baseline. Now, to me, what really has to happen beyond that point is that we also have to make sure that the data and the algorithms are co-located. You can't have your data in one place and then try to analyze it somewhere else. One of the challenges we're going to see in the world moving forward is that we'll see data being created all over the place in many disparate locations. Getting your data to the point where you can analyze it is on its own a fundamental challenge, and one that you should be thinking about as you look at the context of modern security operations in a post-pandemic world. Ultimately, you realize that every single attack of consequence touches multiple elements within your environment. You may have an attack that starts off on the network, but you may want to then look at what happened on the endpoints that connected over the network from which the attack may have originated. You may want to then pivot from one endpoint to another when you see similar patterns across the board. And only then, by taking that comprehensive view that allows you to pivot from point to point, can you do effective investigation. Now, from that perspective, the virtual security operations center becomes really important. And in this day and age, we are going to see a virtual security operations center where people may not be physically in the room, but maybe connecting remotely. They may have to collaborate remotely. And there are going to be a set of key elements that are going to be crucial for being able to ensure that we do effective security operations in this context. So first and foremost, we have to be able to coalesce events that ostensibly seem to be coming from disparate events that don't seem to be part of the same incident. Now, I believe that with some clever analytics, we can actually take disparate events that are tied to one incident, bring those events together, and provide them to a single security operations center staff member who can then conduct a thorough investigation without having to retrieve or collaborate with too many of their peers along the way, if that's not necessary. Second, I think it's really crucial for analysts to be able to pivot across views, take a cross-functional view that looks at not just what happened in one device, but across multiple devices, not just in one particular device, but also on the network that that device may have been communicating over, and so on and so forth. And that visibility, again, has to come across all your key assets, your network core, your endpoints, your cloud, your IoT and OT devices, and beyond. But it's important to be able to take that information, coalesce it, do investigations that pivot across those views, and bring that information together. And finally, it's going to be crucial to leverage automation during this process. Now, automation typically is looked at in the context of security orchestration automation and response, or SOAR. And when I talk about SOAR, I don't just mean capital S SOAR, I also mean lowercase s SOAR. There are some really basic things you can automate that can speed up the process of doing an investigation. Certainly, you can take that to the next level and do all sorts of fancy playbooks that cover every edge case and corner case in your environment. But it's important to just start basic. Find out how you can crawl, then walk, and then run. And I believe this is going to be a crucial area as we think about how we can manage incidents at large with a distributed and remote workforce, especially when that workforce is your security operations personnel. Now, when you look at security operations, it's really focused on making sure threat actors stay out. You're trying to keep the bad folks out. The other side of that coin is about making sure that good actors can get in, that they can operate. And that's when we come to the realm of identity and access management. Now, identity is the most consequential attack vector, bar none. And any key way of looking at your entire security operations center has to be predicated in large part on having an understanding of what's happening with identity. You have to know who's accessing what and what they're doing with that access. And that's going to be even more important as we move to a remote and hybrid workforce where people may be connecting from remote locations at any given time. In that vein, organizations have to invest in some critical areas. They have to invest in their digital transformation initiatives. But as part of that, they recognize that in doing so, they're losing sight of that network core. The network core is going to be less important in this new world, and we're going to be much more focused on being able to manage a hybrid instance where you have network pieces and cloud pieces and people coming in from different locations on different endpoints. What we saw over the past years that remote work became the norm during the pandemic, I don't see that changing anytime soon in a fundamental way. I think we've experimented into new ways of operating and working. We'll see a lot more in terms of hybrid work environments in the future. Certainly people will prefer it for certain reasons, but I think overall that does create a set of challenges for security personnel. One of the first challenges is in the idea of there being islands of identity. We're not necessarily limited to one digital identity within an enterprise context. We may have one identity for cloud applications, one for enterprise applications, and depending on the application, there may be several identities associated with that application. And so in that vein, it becomes really crucial to bridge those islands of identity so we have a comprehensive, unified view of what's going on across your cloud and your on-premises applications and assets. Secondly, we've got to look at not just how we think about authentication, what I think of as identity assurance. We've got to take a step beyond that and look also at identity governance and lifecycle, which is really in the domain of access assurance. How do I know that the right people are even given access in the first place? And that combination of identity assurance and access assurance has to be looked at together as part of your overall identity strategy. And finally, zero trust is going to take on a lot more importance in this new world where people can be connecting from anywhere. In that vein, it's crucial to realize that zero trust is not a product, it's not a framework, even a strategy. Zero trust at its core is a mindset. It really embraces an idea that we've known about for many, many years in the security industry. But it's about thinking about security in a correct way, about looking at how you can minimize your trust surface and minimize what you have to trust unnecessarily. Now, and part of that is that recognizing that zero trust is not just about identity alone, even though most people tend to focus on identity when it comes to zero trust. To me, zero trust done correctly has to involve looking at your entire security operations, including your security operations center, your identity and access management systems, and even your integrated risk management systems. In that vein, I strongly encourage many of you to read some of the recent work by NIST, if you haven't already done so, that really explicates how we can look at zero trust in this more holistic sense. The NIST Zero Trust Framework is phenomenal in this regard. Having looked at identity, I think the last critical piece of the puzzle that we have to look at is the idea of integrated risk management, which really ties all these pieces together. At a fundamental level, when you think about risk management, we think about it as something we do at the onset. We're really preparing for what could happen later. Now, in the context of the idea of moving and shifting right of boom, there are some critical things we can do up front during the integrated risk management preparation phase that can help us later on to manage what happens right of boom. First and foremost is the idea of asset categorization. Identifying ideally automatically what matters most in your environment and then prioritizing accordingly. We've seen many instances where people are sitting inside the security operations center, a bunch of interesting incidents come in, and they have no way of knowing which ones are the most important versus which ones can be safely ignored. We've got to flip that script and make sure we do look at the relative importance of the assets in our environment and have an understanding of what matters most to our mission as an organization. The second key area in integrated risk management is around third-party vendor risk management and just generally third-party risk. Today, no organization exists as an isolated entity unto itself. Instead, every organization exists as part of a much bigger, much more complex, cohesive ecosystem. And a failure in one part of that ecosystem can have a dramatic ripple effect across the entire ecosystem. That's why managing boom in complex, hyper-connected environments is so difficult. But if we're not thinking about third-party risk, we are missing the boat in a fundamental way. In fact, I was talking to one organization recently, and they told me that they were concerned about ransomware in their environment. But their real concern was not about ransomware that impacts them directly. They were concerned about ransomware impacting one of their suppliers, knowing that if that happened, that could break down the entire supply chain and limit anyone's ability to successfully conduct their mission as part of what they need to do next. And so that vein, to me, these are really critical issues that have to be looked at across the board. From everyone I've talked to so far, it's crucial to understand now more than ever that we live in a hyper-connected world and a world where that connectivity is going to be even more important down the line. Now, in the past year, we've seen a number of remarkable attacks. For example, the SolarWinds attack. And you may say, hey, Zuli, for all these things you've shown us, can that help us prevent the next SolarWinds from occurring? Can it help us with these supply chain attacks? The answer is quite frankly, no. We're not going to be able to prevent that next attack from occurring. We're not going to be able to prevent the next SolarWinds type situation. But what we can do is mitigate the impact of that boom event by shifting our focus to right of boom, and ultimately to kind of coalesce that boom to mitigate to the point where it's not going to be a critical game-stopping issue for us. If I may draw an analogy, consider, for example, a bank. You could imagine that somebody's trying to prevent the bank from getting robbed, and you could build a strong front door for the bank. But still, a bank robber who's clever enough is going to find their way through the front door. After all, the bank is going to be open for operations for other people. But remember, the goal of the bank robber is not to get in the front door of the bank. The goal of a bank robber is to get the money in the vault and get out the back. In much the same way, in our industry, we often conflate the terms intrusion and breach. They mean two separate things. An intrusion is a means to an end. The breach is typically the ultimate goal of an intrusion event. And there is time between the intrusion and the breach where we can effectively respond to that intrusion and ultimately prevent threat actors from conducting and engaging and succeeding in their ultimate mission. Some of the techniques I've outlined below and throughout the course of this presentation should hopefully help you understand how we can bring these pieces together, how we can look at our risk posture, our security operations posture, and our identity posture, and succeed in bringing together what we need for the future. Now, over the course of this past year, we have seen tremendous tests of our resilience. We have altered how we work, we've altered how we live, we have altered how we play. But we've also seen how new constraints and new challenges can drive out the best in us in the right ways. We've thrived in many ways despite these challenges. Yes, the rules have been different, but we've done a lot of remarkable things over this past year. We developed multiple successful vaccinations for COVID over the course of just a single year. And to put that in perspective, the second place in this area is mumps. And the mumps vaccine took 4 years to develop. So the fact that we were able to accomplish COVID-19 vaccinations within a year and get these vaccines distributed is a remarkable testament to the power of human ingenuity. This past year, we embarked on the idea of commercial spaceflight when the SpaceX crew or SpaceX team actually helped usher a small team of NASA astronauts onto the International Space Station. This past year, we've seen remarkable advances in areas like protein folding. And in particular, protein folding is about trying to predict the actual structure of protein by looking at the amino acid profile of that protein. And what's really remarkable is that with these advances that we've made in the past year, we'll see new treatments come out for diseases like Parkinson's and other nefarious causes. And also, at a fundamental level, that'll help us understand how we can do a better job of drug discovery. Now, these advances have two things in common. First of all, they all took place because of effective public-private cooperation, the kind that we're trying to engender here today. And secondly, they took place in a world that was increasingly digital, where many people were forced to work remotely and to collaborate remotely. The work that each of us has done to help organizations, to help key agencies continue to work and thrive despite the circumstances around them, the work that we've done to engender trustworthiness in digital systems, the work that we have done to provide a safe online experience for people has not gone unnoticed. In fact, that work is a critical component to making sure that society continues to move forward despite the challenges around us. So I hope that as you go off today and you look at some of the different sessions, you take some of these insights with you and think about how we together as a community can understand how we can build better systems, how we can engender trustworthiness, and in so doing, how we can ultimately help enable key tenets of human progress. With that, I want to thank you for your time, and I wish you the very best today. Stay safe, stay healthy. Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to our RSA Public Sector Day podcast. If you would like more information on how we can assist your organization with cybersecurity needs, please visit www.carisoft.com/cybersecurity or email us at rsa@carisoft.com. Thanks for listening and have a great day.